Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great things you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the American Federation of Government Employees and the United Mine Workers of America. We appreciate their support very much. Folks, don't forget, if you go to our website, www.theunionedge.com, you can download a free app for your iPhone and or your Android. With that app, you can listen to this radio program anywhere in the world. You can listen to the live broadcast. You can listen to the podcast. You can listen to the stream. We appreciate that very much. Do us a favor. Leave a nice comment when you download the app. That way, other people can find the app, too. We appreciate that very much. Joining us today, we've got Sam Knight, Sam Sachs, both with the District Sentinel. Guys, welcome back.
Hey, Charles.
Good to be here.
Always a pleasure, guys. We appreciate it. So, guys, what's your take on this GOP budget?
The Republican tax plan.
No, sorry, tax plan.
I wish I could give you a take, but it's not out yet. We all remember the drama recently when the Senate Republicans passed their handwritten chicken scratch mess in the dead of night on early Saturday morning. Now that is being reconciled with the House bill in a conference committee, and the House leaders are expecting that to be finalized in writing by Friday. And there is still a lot to work out because the process was such a mess. For example, Mitch McConnell, in the rush to get things done, actually ended up kind of screwing over his own donor base. And he, in the process of trying to wiggle the bill into the reconciliation rules, he was giving out favors to try to cajole people to vote for the bill, like Susan Collins and such. And how he ended up trying to pay for that was by issuing an alternative minimum tax rate, which was not below the corporate tax rate that they passed. And that's substantial because basically when you take the alternative minimum, you're saying you're not going to take itemized deductions and such. And the idea is that that should be lower than whatever corporate tax rate is. McConnell didn't do that. So long story short, he paid off a lot of the corporate people who make up the Republican base. And that is just one of the things they're going to have to work out this week because the process was such a mess. Because Trump wants to get a bill passed by Christmas.
And let's be clear, this latest work, the conference committee that's trying to resolve the differences between these bills, the process here is just as much of a mess as it was beforehand. We're supposed to get a conference committee report, which will basically break down the differences between the House and the Senate bills and how the members of the conference committee resolve those differences to come up with a new piece of legislation. But none of that is really happening. Instead, what you have are congressional leaders working behind closed doors to come out with a new final bill that can pass both the House and Senate that doesn't have these mistakes like Sam Knight just mentioned. And then later they'll come out with the conference report. It's kind of like if you're doing a math problem on a test and you're supposed to show your work. Right now they're just getting the answer, and then later they're going to try and show their work for the
process. It is so funny because Bob Murray of Murray Coal down in West Virginia was absolutely livid about what's going on in D.C. right now because he said that he's going to lose $60 million a year because of this tax plan. And this is a guy that supported Trump hook, line, and sinker. You know, so this is very interesting all the way around. Also, it's my understanding that there are some very major loopholes in this that any competent tax attorney would be able to drive a Mack truck through when it comes to corporate relations.
And that wouldn't surprise me if that is one of the reasons why corporate donors were pushing them to get something done so soon. Sometimes we don't like to overstate the impact of egos and personalities in politics, but I think a lot of Republicans in the Senate ranging up and the House too, quite frankly, ranging up and down the spectrum, were pretty embarrassed by the fact that they couldn't repeal and replace Obamacare. So I think a lot of them, as Sam said, they want the answers, and then they're going to work backwards here. But with something like tax, it's just so complicated, and there's so many third and fourth order issues here that it's just amazing to see this ego and this incompetence and this just overall drive to get things done is just producing some absolutely absurd results.
And further belying a lot of the promises Republicans have made with this tax cut, there's a new study out of the Wharton School of Business, which isn't exactly a leftist bastion or a place that wants to discredit corporate tax cuts, but they have a new study out on this tax bill saying that the bill will not pay for itself, as Republicans claim through dynamic scoring. This is a similar conclusion that various scoring agencies on Capitol Hill have already come out, saying that this is going to blow a massive hole in the deficit. Not that that should matter. I mean, as progressives, we shouldn't matter too much about government deficits because they really don't matter. But next time you hear Republicans complain about deficits, just know that they're about to blow a $1.5 trillion hole in it and that this bill will not pay for itself.
Right. And once again, the Wharton Business School at UPenn has given the bird to Donald Trump, his alma mater.
Well, what's also really quite astonishing here is that nothing is guaranteed about a final passage. The House and Senate have to ultimately agree to pass whatever comes out of the conference. And Susan Collins has said, for example, that she might not accept the final proposal. And they had to get through a lot of hoops to get her on board to get through the initially to get through the Senate. So it
plus what happens tonight if more and more loses too, yeah, they lose another Republican.
Of course, yeah. There's that as well. Although I don't know when exactly the winner takes their seat for in terms of when the vote would come, but it would still send shockwaves, I think, through Washington if Republicans were to lose a seat in Alabama.
Yeah, I think that's a whole other thing. Interesting thing about it is I have a friend that works at Hunter Army Airfield that is talking about the perception of what's going on down in Alabama with Roy Moore and as a surrogate for the president. And, you know, he says that it's really just the wild, wild west down there right now.
One aspect of that is that the Alabama Supreme Court reversed a lower court's decision to order polling places to preserve paper records of electronic voting. So what that means is that the independent judiciary there in the state of Alabama at the highest level has basically okayed, paved the way for the destruction of records in tonight's voting, which is why I personally am a little skeptical that Doug Jones can pull it off in the end.
Yeah, especially heading into a race where polling has been all over the place and nobody really knows who's going to win tonight. If this ends up being a very close race, which it very well could be, you've pretty much the Supreme Court has made it pretty much impossible to verify the results.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a very interesting thing. You got to wonder where the League of Women Voters are right now. I'm sure they're busier than all get out trying to do the right thing. Got a lot of faith in them, and so we'll see what happens. Guys, any final words for us today?
Just real quick, there's a legal case this month on the 22nd concerning the CFPB. It's not over yet. Mulvaney leadership is still being challenged. Leandra English and others have filed briefs on her behalf saying that Mulvaney still shouldn't be in charge. So there was just a temporary ruling that went against English a few weeks ago that left Mulvaney in charge, but broader arguments on this issue are not settled yet, and that case is coming up the 22nd.
Keep hope alive.
Yeah, there you go, guys. There you go. We appreciate it very much. How do we find out more?
Go to our website, districtsentinel.com. You can listen to our daily podcast. It's a newscast called District Sentinel Radio on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and TuneIn. And support us on our Patreon, patreon.com/districtsentinel.
There you go. In the meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.